why would we bother doing a podcast?
I don't know.
Yeah, we think about that a lot. That would just be a print artist?
Better.
Leave a comment that's hashtag this is awkward. Matt, isn't podcasting free?
Aaron, don't be an idiot.
A bit cruel, but a lot of people assume that all it takes is time.
It does take time, which for us is time dedicated to providing content rather than working on all the other stuff we have going on.
You know, that's why I'm a big fan of Buy Me a Coffee. They let anyone jump on there, show some financial support quickly and easily, or if they're feeling real crazy, become a member.
That is money we could use to help grow our content, marketing, equipment, and keep growing the business.
Our shows are free to listen to, but this is a way for anyone to get exclusive merch and even an extra monthly show called Behind the Red Door.
To show support and keep us making great content, visit buymeacoffee.com/beardsandcomics.
Again, that's buymeacoffee.com/beardsandcomics. That's our ad.
Hey everybody, I'm going to smash that solo button for the week again. Today, I want to talk about what it's like being in the middle of a campaign. We've done a lot of episodes about launching, a lot of episodes about what it was like, but I thought it'd be cool to do something a little bit more low-key and talk about what it's like right now being 1 week into a campaign, and by the time you're listening to this, it'll be about a week and a half into a four-week campaign. This one we did 28 days. We don't typically do a full 30 anymore just because, I don't know, something about having those extra 2 days where I'm not having to do a campaign just seems appealing to me, you know? But if you guys have followed along with it, you know it's been going pretty well. For us, I believe that's the most we've gotten in a single week. I think we closed out the week at about 18-10. And of course, you know, there's plenty of people that do much, much, much higher numbers. We don't have any super crazy tiers on these spy thriller books. There's nothing that's above 150. That's the highest one. So that does limit a bit of how much money you're able to pull in just off the campaign. And it's going to rely more on having more backers. When I last looked, I was at 68 backers, and you know, the first issue did 177, but I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't know if you all have noticed, we've been watching quite a bit in the last few months, and we've noticed there's a very large fall off right now in people that are backing campaigns, even ones that that were really popular, like really popular. We've noticed a lot lower backer numbers. And some of our friends haven't been able to hit funding goal. I want to say 3 or 4 within the last 2 months. And it's interesting. It's an interesting market right now. I think it has a lot to do with things that are going on, you know, and I'm not going to get into politics or anything. But I just mean in the sense of, you know, inflation and prices up, gas is up, and just people are probably going to have to be a little bit more, you know, mindful of where they put their money. On top of that, you know, there's a lot of people that still haven't gone back to work, a lot of people that lost their jobs, and then a lot of people that have very recently lost their jobs. But so for us, we're still encouraged. We think it's going great. I mean, I don't have any actual complaints at this point. I would love to fund. We knew going into it, there's no way we're going to fund 2,500 in the first week. Some behind the scenes stuff, in all honesty, we would like to get about 3,000, because that puts us in a good spot as far as continuing the series and not having to come out of pocket for shipping or anything like that. We do try to be mindful of the campaigns that we run, and we try to think about beforehand what kinds of things, people want to see, what kinds of things, won't cost us an arm and a leg to add to the campaign. Otherwise, we would have to start escalating higher tiers. But this one's a really cool one. I really like that we're re-releasing issue number 1 of One Last Job and doing a Holochrome cover. I want one. So we did decide that we're going to do it limited to the campaign, though. So we're going to order a certain set of number, like whatever that roundup is, because you pretty much have to do it in 25 increments. Or increments of 25. And then I know Matt and I are going to want some. And then we'll probably want a couple extras. Sorry, guys. I haven't had coffee yet. We'll probably want a couple extras for friends and family. So we plan to do that. But yeah, so here's the thing. Cross-promo. Cross-promo is vital to campaigns now more than ever. Getting people to do the cross-promo, that's the trick. Not only getting people to do the cross-promo, but getting people who maybe have a different audience that would like to, you know, be able to share each other's campaigns and their updates. And we've seen a lot of people that have come to us through cross-promos in the last campaign, and we're looking to continue that this time. It's not as easy to get on shows and stuff right now, and I think part of that is because Matt and I aren't doing a lot of shows right now. So hopefully we'll be able to reach out a little bit more and talk to some more people. I'm very excited about this campaign. I'm excited about where we are to be almost $2,000 in, you know, in a week is very exciting for us. It's very different than what we're used to. I remember the first few campaigns were a real struggle to fund. And I remember even the last Tilt 3 was hard to fund. But things with Tilt are very different now, you know. It wasn't until January of this year that people started getting Tilt Issue 1 for free. And we've noticed a large uptick in interest in that. We look forward to dropping the fourth one. We're actually getting close to the end of production on that as far as the lettering and coloring. So that's pretty exciting. I think people will be excited to see that full story come around. Oh, goodness. All right. I don't know why all the traffic stopped. Sorry, guys. I'm kind of distracted right now. Anyway, I'm excited about this campaign. I hope you guys have been watching since day one, because it's been really cool. It's been a very interesting process putting that campaign together. I'm going to be honest. I had put something together, and then I kind of revamped the whole thing. And that's when I noticed the Project We Love thing get on there. So I had put the campaign together, and I was like, I would like to make this look nicer. Like, I would like to make it a little more visually appealing, you know? And we were able to do that, and I think it came together really well. So hopefully you guys like the way that the campaign looks. I like to try to mess with it a little bit every time and make it a little bit different. I like to be image heavy. I don't like a whole lot of the white space in the story section. I think the only thing that I'm going to do next time is actually start doing images of the reward tiers. I used to do that on the old campaigns, and then I stopped doing it, and I don't know if that is good or bad. I can't say. I didn't do it on One Last Job 1, and that was the highest back campaign that we've had, so I can't say that it hurts or helps, but, you know, these are things to think about. That's all this episode is right now, so I'm just kind of bringing you guys where my mindset is right now, being, you know, a little over a week into a campaign. This is our sixth campaign, so we're starting to get a hang of how we want to run things. We did finally stop this time doing a low goal. I know a lot of people do a low goal, and then you'll see them post like, oh, we funded in a day. And we did that. You know, I think Welcome to Everville was like a $500 goal, but we needed a lot more. And we made a lot more. The reason we did it on that one is because Matt and I did the book, and it's not like him and I were paying each other out for it. And then the next campaign after that, I want to say we did it as well. But anyway, yeah, we stopped doing that. And I think going forward, we'll probably just be more honest about that goal anyway, to get it to a number that's sustainable as far as production. Because here's the thing is, you wouldn't want to fund at $500 and then something happens and you only make, you know, $1,000, $1,500 on a book and still have to produce the book. And because that's a lot of money that's missed, that's a lot of money still out of pocket. We know a lot of creators that do pay everything out of pocket. So another different thing that we did with this campaign is we're going to try to start utilizing Kickstarter for what it was created for, which was to fund production of the projects. So for us, we got the first few pages of One Last Job 2 done, and that's what's on the page now. We did give more of the script to the artist, so he has that accessible if he wants to jump ahead or not. That part's completely up to him. And for us, we just kind of decided, let's go ahead and do the campaign. We needed to do another campaign. We thought we would have done Tilt 4 back in August, so we thought we would be fulfilling that and still getting around to doing One Last Job. Because, you know, Tilt 4, once Tilt 4 is done, Tilt's done for a little bit until we can kind of revamp the way we want to do the book and move forward with the next story arc. But Tilt 4 is going to close out that story arc. And that money would have been flipped into another project. We're trying to reassess the way that we put books out as well. So instead of having just a whole bunch of different titles, we want to just push forward with getting a title's story arc done. For instance, One Last Job is a mini series. It's going to be only 4 issues. And, you know, we gave the first one out, shipped out in May, and then this one will be shipping out by March of next year. I did set the date out a little bit further than I think we needed to, and I did that just because things are crazy, and I just didn't want to give people false hope, and I didn't want to miss a deadline if crazy stuff does happen, because, you know, it's the 2020s. But yeah, so feeling good. I think it's going great. I hope you guys are enjoying watching the campaign and watching people come on board, and I've noticed a lot of backers that are new to us. They're not people that have seen back our stuff before, and that's always encouraging. And then I know some of you guys that are our listeners, and some of you guys that that we're friends with and stuff like that, and that's encouraging as well. You know, it was a while back that Matt and I decided to stop throwing money into every single project that we see come up on Kickstarter and to start being a little more selective. And so some people might disagree with that. We know plenty of people that are like, no, fund everything. Give them, throw a dollar at them. But I don't care much about backer numbers anymore. I want my book in people's hands. And if somebody just throws a dollar at us and they're not going to get a copy of the book, it's nice. Thank you for the dollar. But I wanted you to read this book. That's why I made it. That's where my mindset is on that. So it's controversial. I know some people probably don't like that. But our friends and people that I really respect as far as their writing and creative processes will continue to back the books, you know, that we're interested in. And I'm not saying it'll be everything that any particular creator puts out. Just same with us. We don't expect all of our creative friends to back every single project that we do. Because if you're doing that for everybody, that's a lot of money. However, the other thing that I do consider and that I really enjoy is that Kickstarter is how you get indie comics right now. That's where you get your hands on them, and usually with some cool stuff to come with it, you know. And so we have our people that I really want to continue reading their series, and then there are new ones that we'll take chances on, and yeah, that's pretty much the way it goes right now. And everybody has to find that balance, you know. And for me, it was more of a things going on in my personal life and things going on with jobs. I had to assess what was essential and what was worth it for me to do. And, you know, reading and seeing where other people's brains are, that's still a vital thing for me as a creator. And so that's why I'm doing that. Yeah, so that's pretty much all I want to talk about. I hope you guys kind of hear the encouragement in all of this. I appreciate everybody that has been listening to us. And I appreciate everyone that's been listening to us through kind of the weird time that we're in right now, you know, where it wasn't that extremely productive of a year. We kind of were so overloaded with backed up projects, and so now we're kind of jumping into, we didn't think we'd be doing One Last Job right now, I'll say that. That was something that we thought we'd be doing later on, but we're doing it. And then we're looking forward to doing some more stuff soon. But we want to keep running with that series. You know, we want everybody to get that full story. It's a fun story. And I think the twists and turns in it, people are going to really, it's going to stick with you. And who knows what it'll become in the future, you know. Anyway, I appreciate you, everyone, and I hope you're doing well. Quick update on the classes. I know I haven't posted in a while, and that is because I've completely had to reformat them, and now I'm having to film them a different way because I'm going to be doing them through Skillshare rather than just through our subscriber base. So that means anyone with a Skillshare account, you know, will be able to take our class. And each of those 8 things that I posted, those are all going to be separate classes now because of the way Skillshare works. So the first class is going to be on literary devices. In the class project, you're going to be creating a flash fiction story and be able to identify what literary devices you used and how they elevated your craft. That's what it's all about. You know, that's what all the classes that I'm doing are about, are elevating your craft and helping you understand the the more nuanced side of creative writing. And I hope people will take the class, even if you are already a writer. And the reason I want that is because I know a lot of writers, when I go into edit for them, these are things that I'm like, oh wow, like if you knew kind of what these literary devices were that you were utilizing, you might be able to lean into them a bit more and really bring out more of the story. And so then my editing can hopefully shift more toward just copy editing. But yeah, right now I'm still editing for people, and if you guys need me as an editor, let me know. I'm more than willing to look at the project and see what I think I can do for you. I do like to be there for the whole thing, so you know, if you give me the script, then I'm going to edit the heck out of the script. You can ask the people that I've edited with so far how I do that. Basically, I go through and notate everything after I do a grammar and spelling check run through. And then I'll go through, notate everything possible, like even if it's just like a, I don't know if this made sense, and just like as many notes as I can that will help you clarify your message to the audience. And then I give you a form, usually a one sheet that has 3 sections on it. And the first one is questions that I don't want you to answer to me, but I want you to answer for yourself. And then the second one is, my thoughts on the project, my thoughts on your script, things I liked and didn't like. And then the last part is questions that I'll ask you that I do want you to answer, just so I kind of know where you are as far as the project and series and going forward and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's how I approach it. And then I'm there through the lettering process all the way to production, and we'll even help on campaigns. So yeah, utilize me. I'm here for it. Anyway, I'm going to close it out here. I appreciate you guys, and keep doing the thing. Aaron is out.
Beards and Comics Podcast is a production of Catalyst Comics Studio. To get in touch with us, visit CatalystComicsStudio.com or search for Beards and Comics Podcast on Facebook. Hey, if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It doesn't sound like much, but it helps a whole lot.